Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a positive difference in the world. We explore important areas and aspects of life, including business, sales, real estate, physical, mental, relationships, disabilities, and many more interesting topics. Our broadcast team so far consists of outstanding people from both Canada and the U.S., including several Napoleon Hill certified instructors as well as several authors. My name is Tom Tuttle Cunningham, and I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. I'm also a regular contributor to their weekly newsletter. And in March of this year, I spoke at the 2012 Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia, where I shared the stage with Deepak Chopra, who was the keynote speaker for that event. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 44 years now. And I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced, which makes me sound like a spider. And I've been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1", and that's due to the heavy daily doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. I'm also a senior research director for the Canadian Business Journal, which is a digital-only publication, and we're the official and only media partner of the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. You can find that online at cbj.ca, and you can find out more about me at my website. It's tall.com. I'm excited and pleased to have as my guest today Tahani Abirani, and she's a real estate land developer, an entrepreneur, an international speaker, an author, and a mentor. She recognized a golden opportunity in focusing on real estate investors and building relationships while building their wealth. She's negotiated over 1,000 deals and worked with over 1,000 investors. And Tahini's story is both inspirational and transformational. She is also the author of Real Estate Riches, a money-making game plan for the Canadian investor, recently ranked number 3 on Amazon.ca's real estate bestsellers list. Welcome to the show today, Tahani.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Tom. I'm very thrilled and excited to be here with everyone.
I am excited to have you, and thank you to my friend Brad Callender, who recommended you, and I also interviewed Brad. And as I told you before we went on the air, Brad's interviews had a lot of listeners, so I think real estate investing is a very hot topic.
Yes, I thank Brad as well. He's an unbelievable man, and his aura, his energy is all about helping others, and I love that about him.
And having worked on over 1,000 deals, that is a large, large number of deals. And so what you've learned over that many deals is certainly very comprehensive, I imagine.
Yes, absolutely. And what I've learned is that working with thousands of investors is that they all come in, and then it starts where it's sort of like the same kind of questions that everybody starts with. You know, they ask the same questions for, you know. And then I thought to myself, I've been asked by others, is that, you know what, put it all in a book and then give it to people so that they understand it. And instead of asking the same question, then they've already read your book, and then they come and ask more creative questions. So that's what I've done. That's how Real Estate Riches book was born, actually.
And that must be a much more efficient way for you to deal with investors, because you don't have to, as you say, answer those same probably half a dozen, 6, 8, or 10 questions from every single investor. And if they read that book, then they must also know your strategies and your ideas. So they're starting at you're starting at a good level with them, or they not just a beginner at that point.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely. It gives them a very, very good idea of what to expect, what to think of, because the book is actually geared towards, you know, newbie investors. Anyone who hasn't yet invested and have been thinking about real estate investing, to some of my investors who have maybe 3, 4, up to 5, you know, properties. So this book is perfect for anyone who's, you know, from 0 to about 5 properties. It takes you from A all the way to Z of real estate investing, what to look for, what to ask, how to build a team, what strategies are out there, and which one is better for you. So, yeah, it's very step by step, and it's very hands-on, you know, book. And the amazing thing about the book, Tom, is also there is a lot of real-life stories. Like, I give examples of real-life investors that I've worked with through the years and how, you know, by just learning from their mistakes before they come to me and what they've done, and then what is it, you know, what you can learn from that and then take it in your life and apply it so that you can avoid costly, expensive mistakes.
Exactly. And in real estate, when you make mistakes, they can be expensive mistakes.
Big mistakes, thousands of dollars mistakes. Yes, yes, that
exactly.
is absolutely right.
And that is, I think, an amazing idea. I studied the Raymond Aron real estate investment course about 27 years ago. But then once you finish the course, you're on your own. And I made those mistakes that you're talking about. I could find and negotiate properties, but I was not so great at property inspection. I was not so great at property management. And you have to know the whole process from A to Z to be a good real estate investor. You can't just be good at one aspect of it, can you?
No, not really. But here's the other amazing thing is that if you don't want to know it, you have to understand it, first of all. Yes, you have to 100% understand it. And you can choose afterwards to hire someone to do the work for you. But at the same time, then you have to manage those managers. So, for example, property management. I don't manage my properties. I hire someone to manage my properties. But I know what to ask them. I know what to do when something rises or like an issue, you know, comes up. And what I have in the book are questions of what to ask, you know, these team members, from the property manager to the mortgage broker to the realtor to the contractor to the insurance broker, everybody who's going to be on your team. Because in UB investors, sometimes they don't know what to ask because they haven't experienced it, right, Tom? So
exactly.
If you haven't experienced something, then how can you really, how do you know what to ask, right? So,
exactly.
Yeah, so we have questions there for you know, the listeners who are interested in real estate investing, of what to ask when you don't know what to ask, because there are some very important questions that you must ask in order for you to know that the person that you're working with is an expert and someone who can really help you get to the next step of your real estate investing business.
Exactly. And this is what Napoleon Hill refers to as a mastermind alliance. And I found picking the team was the most important. For instance, I worked with a real estate agent who was not afraid to put in offers that some other agents said, well, I won't present that, or I can't present that. This agent knew, and he was able to sell on why this is a good offer and why the offer is the way it is. And then the mortgage broker, as you mentioned, good to have a mortgage broker who knows about investment real estate, not just residential real estate. And so the team that you work with, are they available to the people that work with you, maybe perhaps even across the country?
Yes, I do. In Canada, anywhere they want, if they're looking for someone, like, say, a mortgage broker or a realtor in a certain area, I'll be more than happy to refer them to a specialist. So they can go on my website and ask for the referral for a realtor, or they can just send me an email, like, you know, in the comments section and ask for whatever they want. I'll be more than happy and willing to give them names all across. But just so that I can touch on one thing that you just said for the realtor, because I started my business as a realtor, and right now, as of the new year, I'm going to launch a new product that is written specifically for realtors who want or would like to work with real estate investors but don't know how. Because you're right, the average realtor does not understand the investor. So in my program, I explain to them and I teach realtors how to actually niche themselves by working with real estate investors and understand the whole real estate investment business. So I'm very excited and thrilled, and it's going to be all across Canada.
Wow, I'm looking forward to that, because that was the biggest challenge, is finding an investor or real estate agent who understood real estate investing. And by understanding, I mean I found one that owns a lot of real estate.
Yeah.
So he understood it from the investment point.
Yeah.
But you are so right. So many real estate agents do not know about real estate investing,
yes,
or how to deal with real estate investors.
Yes, exactly. And also I will be launching a guide. I'm writing a 30-page also guide that they can get off of my website as of the new year about the same subject too. So if they can't attend the 2-day training, they can actually buy the guide. Yes. So it's
wow.
I'm very excited about that. Yes.
Wow. Now, how would a real estate investor work with you? You work as a coach or a mentor, or do you find them deals?
Yes.
What are some of the things you can do to help a real estate investor?
Yeah, I'm doing less of taking them out and selling them property. My team is doing most of that right now. So if anyone is interested in buying in this area, so they would be introduced to one of my team members, and then they can work with them under my company. But I do real estate coaching and mentor. I like to call it mentoring, because I like it's understanding what strategy fits what investor, what I'm good at. I love doing that, and I love strategizing for the client, and it's understanding where they're at, understanding their big why. It's very important to know why the investors want to get into real estate investing. And it's not about the money. Everybody thinks, oh, I got to get into real estate investing because I got to get a lot of, make a lot of money. That is wrong. And sometimes I get investors, believe it or not, Tom, they come to me and they say, I'd like to make $1 million in I've heard 6 months.
Yeah.
That's the least I've heard. And I'm like, well, then you know what I say to them? Well, go out and find that, recipe or that strategy. And once you find it, come back and teach it to me, because I don't know that one. I know the long way of learning how to invest in real estate, the right way, not like the fast, way of making lots of money. So, that's what it's all about.
I really believe that.
Understanding your why. And most people's why is, it's either your family, your health, your loved ones. Those are the true whys, not making money. That's not the true why.
And maybe not necessarily, maybe not making money quickly, as you had mentioned. The real estate, really, you need to give it time to appreciate, pay down a mortgage, increase your positive cash flow.
Yes.
And that's like a 10 to 20 year project, not a 1 or 2 year project.
Yes, yes. Absolutely true. I mean, you can make money in real estate. Don't get me wrong. That's how I've made my money. But you don't make $1 million in 6 months. That's what I'm just getting at.
Exactly. And then my wife watches some of these, buy a property, fix it up, and resell it shows on TV.
Yeah.
And I've known people who do that. That is an extremely difficult thing, and not every property that someone buys to fix up, to resell, not 100% of the time do they make money on it, and there's so many challenges along the way. I would consider that to be one of the more challenging ways to make money in real estate than some of the others. Is that right?
That is so true. It's like, what you see on TV is you see a team of experts. They come in, they fix it, they give you a few days, and then all of a sudden, ta-da, you have a renovated house, and then you're making all that kind of money. It's amazing how many clients came to me just because they're actually in trouble and they need to sell their houses very fast because they're over budget already, or it's taken them much longer, or the market is not, all these issues, issues that they're dealing with, and it's sad to see, because they look at TV, they watch TV, and they think it's so doable, but in real life you need to acquire a lot of knowledge before you go ahead and do something like that.
Exactly. And the idea of working with a team and maybe with yourself as a mentor is so important, because I believe two things are important in real estate. One is error prevention, and also someone to tell you when not to make a deal. I made some deals that if someone had stood back and was a mentor, probably would have said, No, there are some elements missing. But, you know, when you're young and you're ambitious, you close every deal you can. It's not the number of deals you close. It's the ones that are the right deals. And by preventing errors up front, you're preventing people from getting discouraged in a field that really can make them money if they are have someone to help them steer them away from the errors that ordinary people make.
Yes, it's all about avoiding very, very costly mistakes. Yes, absolutely true. Yes.
Now, and Brad was telling me, and this was one of the errors I made, I would go and inspect a home, but I don't know a hammer from a chainsaw. And so me doing a home inspection was like, yeah, the lights turn on and the water turns on. Excellent. Very good. But Brad was saying how vital that is to pay someone who is in that profession to go do a home inspection. Even if it costs you some money and you end up not buying the deal, it will cost you less not buying it than it would cost you if you bought it without the home inspection.
True to that one. Absolutely true to that one. And sometimes, like, when I see people, they say, oh, it's $400 to do that inspection, Tahani. That's a lot of money. And I'm like, no, in the scheme of things, it's when you are buying a $200,000 home or $300,000 or $400,000, that is not a lot of money. And that money could be the best, you know, $400 that you've probably spent, you know, because it can avoid many costly mistakes. Yes, that is so true. Same goes for also coaching. You know, sometimes people might say, oh, well, I don't need a coach. I can do this on my own. Sure, they can. I mean, you know, yes, we all start somewhere. But at the same time, you know, do you want to, you know, learn it and maybe it's going to cost you more money, you know, learning about some of the issues that you're going to be going through, or hiring a coach and then you kind of do it in a faster, more efficient, better way and learn it right from the beginning. That's like when I look at Tiger Woods, and I know he's the best at golfing, and yet he still has a coach. Why not, you know, for someone who's new at something, not hire someone that can mentor them and take them, you know, by the hand and get them to avoid all these costly mistakes.
Exactly. And one costly mistake when you're just starting can turn you off from real estate investing when you were on the right track with the idea of real estate investing. But if in your first or second property you make a costly mistake, now all of a sudden maybe your wife or husband is like, well, you're not doing that again.
Yeah.
Even yourself, you get discouraged. Yeah. And so it's better to go at it slowly with a mentor who's telling you, not this one, but this one. And that is so important to get the first few deals to be successful, right? To give you that encouragement and, oh, yes, okay, now I see how this works.
And ask a lot of questions. Like, there is a lot of investors that come to me and say, Tahani, I was afraid to ask that realtor or that mortgage broker, you know, so many questions because what are they going to think, you know? I said, don't worry about what they're going to think. That's not your business what they think. What you need to do is ask as many questions, and if they're not going to answer them, just go on and get another person that can, or ask why they're not answering your questions. So you need to take control of your business. You are the CEO of your real estate business, so you need to ask all the questions that you need to get the business off ground and going. So it's very important for people to know that.
Exactly. Now, another big area, the biggest area when you're in real estate investing, is tenants. And one thing I learned from my real estate investor who owns a lot of real estate, a lot, he would say that he would rather have a place go empty for 3 months to find the right tenant, because at least in Ontario, maybe the rest of Canada, if you put a tenant in there and you try to get them out, it can take you a fairly long time and a bunch of paperwork before you can get them out. And when you get those bad tenants, they know the Landlord-Tenant Act better than the real estate investor so many times.
That is so true. That is so true. This is one of the biggest, most challenging area when it comes to real estate investors, is having the right property managers on your side, on your team. And I'll tell you something. It doesn't matter if you keep just hiring and hiring until you get to one that really is good, because it's going to be worth every penny and everything that you're going to put into it by getting a great property manager. But more important is that even if you get a great property manager, Tom, you still need to manage the managers. So you still need to call this person and say, what is going on? Why is the place, you know, empty? What are these costs? What is going on? Don't just, you know, like say, oh, I've got a great property manager. Now I'm going to leave them alone and just go on and, you know, and just live my life. You can't, this is a business. You can't just leave the business going on its own. You have to always go back and ask the manager what is happening, what is going on. And you're right. Property management is a big issue.
Exactly, and you said it right. This is a business. It's not a passive investment like putting your money in a mutual fund. It's in there. You don't call up the fund manager every week saying, what are you buying? What are you selling? Mm-hmm. This is a business. You got to be hands-on. If you buy a property and just leave it, you're not learning anything, and you're probably going to experience some challenges if you aren't hands-on and always asking questions. One that I learned is that I had a property that was about 4 hours away from where I lived, and I just put ads in the local paper, and I took the first tenant. And, you know, if investors have heard of midnight moves, well, I've had a few of those happen on me where they're there one day and they're gone the next. And what a silly mistake. If I had done the proper research, done the proper investigation, and not just accepted the first person who signed a form, it would have saved me a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and the thing that I always go by and teach investors is that when you start investing, don't go, you know, saying, oh, I'm going to invest in a $200,000, you know, property, and I'm going to invest in the Kitchener-Waterloo area. You should switch that and say, this is the type of tenant I want to attract. So is it a C tenant, a B tenant, an A tenant? And depending on who is the tenant that you want to attract, you go out and you buy the property that suits that tenant. It's very important because a C tenant, somebody who is on welfare or somebody who, you know, doesn't have a steady job, is going to be a different tenant than, say, an executive or a blue-collar tenant. So always do it backwards and always go for something that is in demand. So if you're going to be investing in Cambridge, you say which area that has, you know, the highest rental in that area, or people want to rent in that area more than other areas, and what type of tenants are those people and what are they paying. And then you go from there rather than saying, oh, I want a $200,000 property and this is my investment, right?
Wow, I hadn't ever heard of it like that, but that is a great way. As you said, it's like working backwards, figuring out the tenant and then that you want, and then from there choose the investment property based on the type of tenant you want. And one, a C tenant will require a lot more work and challenges than perhaps certainly an A tenant would.
Or a B tenant, whatever it is. It's like entrepreneurs, what they do is they go out and they start a business that they think they're good at or they love or it's a hobby for them. Okay, well, that's fine, but have they really tested what the market is? Have they really surveyed what people are looking for? Most likely not. And what I'm saying, real estate investors, because this is a business, they have to also understand where their clients are coming from. Because really, the tenants are paying your mortgage. The tenants really are paying for your retirement, for your kids' education. So you need to understand the tenant before you, you go out and do all these other things. Absolutely.
Wow. Now, Napoleon Hill's number one success principle is definiteness of purpose. How did it take you a while to figure out that real estate investing was your passion, what you love, what you're good at? Did you go through a number of other different types of businesses or jobs before you were able to find that, wow, this is what I love and this is also what I'm good at?
Well, you know, I mean, yes, definitely business is absolutely a number one success, or the passion for what you do, I guess. It's, the focus. And I did start as an entrepreneur. I helped my ex-husband with some of their businesses, and I opened a dollar store business when the dollar store craze was going on in downtown Cambridge. And then finally I got into the real estate business almost two decades ago. But my real passion in real estate did not really show up until about, 2002. And that's when I started working with real estate investors, because I, real estate selling, like selling houses, is totally different than selling to real estate investors. And real estate investors, it's like a black or white. Does it make money or not? It's a business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I
mm-hmm.
love that concept. I just went out and I helped as many people, and because I was willing to do everything that it takes for clients, I guess that's, it's a passion for me, and clients saw that, and referrals started coming in. Did you know, Tom, that I have not spent $1 on advertising since 2008 in my real estate business?
Wow.
It's all referrals.
And yet you've done over 1,000 deals without advertising.
Yes, correct.
So that
and
says
right
something
now,
about
I'm in
you.
And right now, it's also real estate development, not just also a brokerage and real estate selling. Yes.
Wow. Now, has being a woman had any more challenges being in real estate investor than you would think maybe being a man? Have you encountered things where you thought, I don't think a man gets treated like that?
Yeah, well, in real estate development, yes. Absolutely true to that one. There is not many real estate developers in Canada, and the ones that are mostly are handed, the business from their husbands or their fathers, family business. So I'm definitely proud to say that I'm one of the first ones that are across Canada that have started this business on my own, from the ground up. So I would say yes. Yes, absolutely, yes. Being a woman in a development world is really tough. But with anything, as you have faced a lot of challenges, you can look at things and say, oh, gosh, why is this happening to me? Why my luck is this? Or you can say, wow, okay, what an opportunity. How can I become more creative and work around that, right? So
exactly.
The mindset is very important.
That is exactly true. Some people will look at the problem and say, why me and why this? And others will be like, okay, this is just a challenge. Other people have faced it and overcome it. How do I do the same?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're so right. And another thing you said is that, and what I learned in that real estate investing course that I thought was strange when I first learned it, real estate investing is numbers thing. So if you put your numbers on paper, Raymond Aron would say that you could put an offer in on a property never having seen it. You put a few conditions, of course, but he said if the numbers make sense, put in an offer, tie up the property, because it's all a numbers game. You don't have to get attached to, oh, wow, that red brick looks so nice, or, oh, wow, that kitchen backsplash is so fancy. No, it's a numbers thing. If it makes sense on paper, you're not living there. You don't have to care about the color, the backsplash, the floors, the brick, whatever, and you don't have to fall in love with the house yourself. It's a numbers. If it makes sense on paper, on a profit and loss statement, that's what makes sense, right?
Yes, and I'm going to add to that. That is absolutely right, but I'm going to add also to it is that don't rely on people just giving you the numbers. Go out and be proactive and do your due diligence with the numbers. It's so important, so important.
Oh, and do whatever you can to get those actual numbers. And you hit on another thing that I experienced and did not do. And that was just because the current owner of the property quotes you on the utility costs last year. Don't trust everything people tell you. You go and find out yourself.
Yes, and that goes back to the same point, is that manage the managers, you know. You become the CEO of your company, so you become responsible. Because it is so easy for investors to come and say, oh, my God, Jahani, it's not my fault. It was my realtor's fault, or it's my mortgage broker's fault, or it's my property manager's fault. Well, I turn around and I say, what responsibility are you taking in this situation, right? Because it's got to take two people for something to happen, right?
You had to let them give you the wrong figures or the wrong advice, and you didn't check into it yourself.
Exactly, you did not check into it. That's the point. You did not check or confirm what they told you.
Confirm. There was a management thing I learned one time. Trust, but confirm. Trust, but verify. So you can have some basic trust in people, but verify everything yourself as close to the source as you can.
I'm going to give an example with that, Tom. For example, rent. A lot of investors, they say, what is the rent on this property? So the answer might be from the realtor is, for example, let's say $1,500 for this property. Well, that's good. Okay, I'm not saying, you know, just say to them, oh, this is not true, but go and confirm and verify if that's right. How do you do that? You go and you ask not one, but two, maybe even three property managers in the area. If I were to buy 1, 2, 3 Main Street, do you think I am able to get $1,500, you know, for it? Is that reasonable or not, you know? Maybe you should drive that area and see if there is other properties in that area that are, you know, for rent. Knock on the doors and say, how much are you asking? So take responsibility for, you know, your actions. And when things go south, don't say, oh, my God, but I relied on a realtor telling me it's $1,500 and now I'm only getting $1,100.
Yeah, and this is where, as you said, it is a business. It's not just putting your money somewhere. You have to invest the time. And to make it a good business, it could be like a 15 or 20-year investment before you pull the maximum amount of money out of a property. And if you don't invest that time and make it a business, you're not going to be able to sustain the business.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely true.
I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, going, you can look online, you call the neighbors, anybody you know that's renting in that area, how much are you paying?
Newspapers, Kijiji, what are the going rates in that area? Absolutely.
And if you don't know that, then you're just relying on one person's word for it, and you need to really check those things yourself. How about writing the book? Because someone's good at the mentoring part and the working with people, did you find that a bit of a challenge to write a book?
It's time consuming for sure, you know. But the writing of the book is so fulfilling because your message now is not just only shared on, you know, with the few people that you surround yourself with, right? Whether it's in the hundreds or in the thousands, but right now on a larger scale. So I'm so blessed to have written that book and to know that I played a part in someone not making a big costly mistake or someone, you know, learning from my own experiences. So, it took almost a year and a bit, you know, from start to launch date for the book.
Wow. And then, as you had said, when you've done, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of deals, you probably get the same type of questions, a certain number of the same questions. And so writing the book really helps explain what you're finding that the most people are having the challenges with. So you could target your book to exactly the important aspects of real estate investing that people ask about and make mistakes in.
Yes. And the thing is, for any investors or anyone who's on this call listening, is that at the beginning when I was asked to write a book, I actually was approached by Wiley, my publisher, who they are just absolutely amazing, to write a book, you know. And then I thought to myself, the first thing is like, oh, my gosh, no, I can't really write, you know. I mean, English is not my first language, right? So and then I thought to myself, oh, since when do I get, you know, things to stop me from doing what I wanted to do, right? So we normally have things within us that we feel insecure about. But the point is that what I'm trying to tell, you know, listeners is that we all have insecurities, but just go for your dreams and go do whatever, because, it's don't let anything, stop you from going after what you want, and just take it a step at a time. Yes, it took me a long time to write it, but you know what? The book is out. And right now, I'm writing the guide for realtors and also getting a new contract for a second book as well with Wiley.
Holy cow. So now it's rolling. Now you've done one.
Yeah.
All the other topics come to mind. And once you've written one, I imagine writing the second and the third is a lot easier.
Yes. Yes, and you just become more creative, just like real estate investing. You buy the first one, you take it slower, you build your team, you focus, you understand, and then the second one would be easier, obviously, and as you move forward, it'd be easier and easier.
Exactly. Now, when you got started in real estate investing, were your family and friends supportive? Yes, you can do this. Oh,
no.
I believe in you. Or did you hear, you can't do that. A woman shouldn't do that.
Oh, gosh. I had so many challenges. First of all, you have no idea. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have challenges as well. But I had my pictures, ripped off, flyers ripped off, been ridiculed, people saying you're a woman, your place is in the kitchen, a lot of these cultural issues that I had to deal with, and my what we call sphere of influence in real estate, which is the people that surround you and around you from family and friends, they all didn't think a woman can actually help them, sell or buy a house. So, it was a really tough, background. And again, I was born in a refugee camp, so that people know, in Jordan, Amman, and I came to Canada at age of 15 because of an arranged marriage, not knowing who the person is or where Canada is, because, I've never heard of Canada, to come to this country. So it was a lot of challenges, but you listen to what people say, and then you go, okay, that's fine, that's their opinion, thank you for sharing that, but doesn't mean that that's going to be my reality. And then you step up and you do whatever it takes that day to get going, and then you the next day you wake up and you do whatever it takes that day to get going to the next day.
Exactly. And I'm working with and have read of a number of people that were brought up or spent time in refugee camps. And so when I tell people I'm amazing, they, of course, people are going to ask why. And I tell them that in North America, being born or living here is a global blessing. I think whenever I think of complaining, I think of complaining to someone who lives in a third world country or even, let's say, a refugee camp. And if you're complaining about a dent in your car or having to work overtime, what would someone in a third world country think of you? They'll think, what kind of a person is so upset about this little issue when I didn't get to eat today?
Yes, absolutely, because every morning we wake up in that refugee camp and our biggest goal was, when is our next meal going to come from? It wasn't about real estate investing or about our car or next outfit or any of that stuff. And really, that bringing is a blessing, because when I came to Canada, I understood that I cannot really, a lot of people, they talk about stress and, issues and stuff like that. And I'm like, really? These are no issues. These are just just go see somebody else. Yeah. My dowry was $2, Tom. And I keep telling people in my speaking, events, when actually even the last one I've done was with here in Kitchener, Inspiring Women. And I said that there is less than half of the world live on less than $2.
Exactly.
What are we
this
complaining
is what I
about
tell.
Here?
Yes, and we are no nicer or kinder or more deserving to be living in our great country or in North America or in a developed country than those people are nicer, kinder to be born in a refugee camp or in a third world country. We don't deserve it. It's just the luck of the draw or the blessing of God that we are born into a good country. And so when we think of some of our complaints or before we say them, we should think that, come on, as you said, like around half of the world lives on less than $2 a day. What is your complaint again? You know, your car is what? You're having to work late? Whippy-doo. Try go live in a refugee camp where when you wake up, as you said, you're thinking, how am I going to eat today?
I'm so inspired by you, Tom, and by your story and what you've done for yourself. You're truly an inspirational person to all the millions of people around the world, because with all the challenges that you had, you did not say, oh my, I mean, yes, there were probably times when you said, oh gosh, this is hurtful, or this is this, or this is that, but you still got up and went through whatever that it is that you needed to do, right? And,
exactly.
And that's why I loved hearing your story, because I'm like, when people hear your story, I'm like, they can't complain about anything, for God's sake, you know, just stop complaining about the friggin' weather.
And you must think that the same when people complain of being in a refugee camp. People will never, mostly never experience that. And so even any obstacles that you had here in Canada, you must have thought, this is a great country. I'm sure there's a way
I
to get around
Canada.
This obstacle.
I love Canada. And right now I'm actually one of the three finalists for a commercial, infomercial, whatever you call it, for a Canadian, you know, ad about, you know, how I love Canada and what Canada's done for me. So I'm very thrilled. And if it goes through, and it will be on CBC on a national, you know, nationwide, about how Canada's
wow.
changed my life. We are so blessed to be in this country. I just wish people would wake up and realize how blessed we are.
Exactly, yeah. One of the guys I was talking about that I'll be interviewing, his story, was in a refugee camp. When he got married, they had one chicken and 15 people at
yeah.
the wedding. That was it, one chicken.
But they come from a place of plenty, Tom. You know, it's not like, oh, gosh, I only have one chicken. Right now with our outfits, oh, gosh, I only have this to wear tomorrow again to the same event. Like, it doesn't really matter. I wore my outfit a whole year. I only got to wear one new outfit once a year, you know. Everything else
yeah.
is handed down kind of a thing, you know.
Exactly, exactly. Now, do you have family, brothers, sisters, parents that were able to get to Canada as well?
Yes, yes. Some of my family, I brought my brothers. I brought six brothers and one sister to Canada, and I still have another brother and a sister in Jordan. So, yes, they're all here, and they're all doing great. And like I say, you know, we're very, very blessed. And my message is, you know, for anyone who's Canadian, you know, no excuses. Just get up and go for your dreams. They talk about the American dream. I really like to talk about the Canadian dream, you know.
I think we have better potential. We're in better shape. Our dollar, look at our dollar. I've lived in a time where I said the Canadian dollar would never be at par with the U.S. dollar, and never has arrived. And so we are a more stable economic country. Our real estate is more stable. Our
yes.
banks are more stable. If you can't make it in real estate investing in Canada, you probably can't make it in any other country.
Yes. I don't know if you know this or not, Tom, but there is foreigner investors are pouring from all around the world into this country right now, and it will be for the next few years. And I don't know if you know about this or not, but Canada will lead the G7, you know, for the next, they say, 50 years. That's how powerful and good place that we live in.
Oh, wow, 50
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, yeah.
yeah.
And so we need to stop complaining. Just get
yes.
out there and, as you said, pursue your passion
yes.
and your dream.
Yes, and for the women, the listeners, again, you know, just don't say, oh, gosh, I'm a woman, I'm a single woman with kids. That's an excuse, that's a limitation that she's putting on herself, but that's not really reality and that's not really true. Just get out there, do everything you can at the time, you know, being, and then just see how small steps will add up, and one day it'll become bigger than you've ever imagined.
Exactly. And do you get extra pleasure or find it more enjoyable when you're working with a woman like that? You mentioned single moms, and they're my heroes in the world because there's a lot of them and because they have to do so many roles themselves, and they usually get no break in life. They have no time to themselves. When you work with a woman and maybe she's single or a single mom, is it more exciting for you? Do you get more pleasure out of helping someone like that?
It gets more emotional, if that makes sense, you know, just because I feel like I know their place really well because I've been in their place, you know, so it becomes very emotional, and then I become like, and they become more of like my babies, and then I want to help them and nurture them and you know, let them, you know, become the best that they're able to. So always encouraging them and empowering them. Absolutely. Very, very blessed that I'm able to empower women right now. Yes, for sure. Yes.
And they're probably ones that get a lot of the, you can't do that, you're a single mom, or you only have one income behind you, and this and that. And so they probably face more doubt from their friends and their circle of influence than a man doing the exact same thing would.
Well, women have different challenges, obviously, and women invest in real estate differently. I surveyed my clients, and what I found is that almost 92% were male, by the way, in real estate investing, which is like, that was a shock for me, just a realization of that, you know? And then after that, I've decided when I go to convention shows and when I, you know, go out and speak, I wanted to survey women and see why there is not more women in real estate investing. And the number one thing that kept coming back, Tom, over and over again about why is because they said they need to see more role models in this business. And here I am. I'm doing everything I can to say to people, if I can do it, anybody can, and be the role model. Definitely it's achievable. Definitely it's attainable. And all they need is a little bit more confidence that they're able, you know, just to go out there and really do it.
Amen. And so tell people, I'm looking at your website now, but you tell them the website address, maybe if you're speaking somewhere, or how to contact you, because anyone investing in real estate needs to at least get a hold of you and read your book at the very least, right?
Yes, thank you. Tom, they can get hold of me by going to www.tahani.ca, which is my name, .ca for Canada, and I'll spell that. It's T-A-H-A-N-I, Tahani. And I think I'm going to be, next week on Wednesday, I'm going to be at Rogers in Toronto. I'll be speaking there, and then that's it for this year. And then next year, the first speaking engagements I have for the E-Woman in Toronto, and they can find all that information on my website.
Again, oh, E-Women, I know that organization.
Oh,
is that Mary, is that Mary,
I forget her last name,
Moraitis or something
Mora
like that.
Moraitis, something like that, Italian,
That's a great organization. That's a huge organization, and the Toronto chapter is one of the most active in the E-Women network.
Good for you, you know pretty well about it, yes. Yeah,
I've
absolutely.
Been to a few of their meetings.
Oh, really?
I love it.
Awesome.
Yeah, because I know Mary. I know a number of the women from there. So what a great organization they are, and what an honor for you to get to go speak to a group of powerful women like that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm very, very blessed and very honored. And the thing is, again, if you would have talked to me years ago, I wouldn't have been able to tell you that I would be where I'm at right now. So anybody can do it. Anybody can do it.
And now some real estate investors may have listened to this and they may be thinking, I don't want to wait for that book to come out because I know that real estate investors are a great market to work with. They can contact you already, can't they?
Yes, they can.
Get some help and coaching and ideas and mentoring on how to do that. They don't have to wait for the book to come out.
Absolutely not. And in fact, for investors and for realtors who want to work with investors, the next 2 years are a great window of opportunity to get into the real estate investing business. The market is going to be slower, which means there are going to be more properties, which means there is more to choose from and get great deals on. So it's just perfect timing, you know, for this business, perfect timing.
And the mortgage rates are fairly low compared
to
times in history.
Yes. The lowest in history, correct.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. I know that that a lot of people are going to love this interview. And real estate investing, I think I read somewhere like it, the richest people in Canada or even in North America are the people richest people in the world. They're the biggest significant portion of how they got wealthy and stay wealthy is by investing in real estate.
Yes, that is so true, is that no matter what else you're doing, really consider real estate because it is, you know, it's something that is, you know, tangible. You can go out there and touch is something you can look at. And no matter how bad, it's not going to be as bad as you hear in the papers. So do your due diligence, become a savvy investor or a savvy realtor, and best of luck. And thank you so much for having me on this phone call. And I'm so blessed to speak to you, Tom. You are my inspiration. I'm just so thrilled, you know, to be here.
Thank you so, so much. And I need to come see you either at the eWomen or sometime when you're speaking. I'm sure you do an amazing workshop. And I'm sure, as I said, this call is going to be one of my most listened to calls because it's a great avenue for wealth, but you need to have a good mentor to avoid the potholes along the way.
Yes. Yes, thank you. And I would love to have you.
Have an amazing day.
Thank you. You too, Tom. Thank you so much.
Take care.